Good evening and welcome to Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. Ooh, there's a little English on my voice tonight here, huh? Or something. Hi, I'm Michael Dow, and my pronouns are he, him, in case that's something people needed to know. And I'm doing the show tonight with my good friends, Jonra and Sue. Sue?
Hey there, and I answer to all pronouns.
Even the plural ones.
Even the plural ones, yes.
Right, got a little English in your voice there.
Well, English like, you know, like a little topspin or something like that. Just yeah. Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat.
Don't scratch on the cue ball. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Using a little frog on your throat, eh? Yay! Hey-o. Hey, genre. And I answer to him. Maybe I'll talk like this throughout the show. Let's talk about Rwanda.
Kermit.
I
that well, would be horrible.
Indeed. That would certainly make my decision to talk like Sam the Eagle even worse.
Okay.
Funny yeah, you show. You are Cookie Monster. Yeah, that totally tracks.
What, me?
No.
Not me.
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I said, I answer to all pronouns.
Yeah. It's,
wow. I'm looking at the recording and the
red
waves
line?
Just like.
Was it red line?
Oh, you clipped as hell.
Yeah.
I do that to my car too sometimes. Yeah.
Ernie. Anyway, if you'd like to let us know what your pronouns are, or otherwise get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. Email contact at civilpoliticsradio.com, which is, of course, our special website that is all ours and has recordings of previous episodes of the show and all kinds of good stuff like that. So, hooray! Before we get into talking about this stuff, I just want to give a quick shout out to, this has been a pretty cool week. It was my birthday last Sunday.
Happy birthday.
And we had a total solar eclipse across.
Day of black sun.
Yes. Across a good chunk of the US.
All the firebenders went.
Indeed. And yet we still weren't able to get the Fire Lord. What a shame. And, also, I just want to call out this past Tuesday was I did the math in my head, 159th anniversary of Confederate Surrender Day, which is always worth remembering and enjoying.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that overrated hack Ulysses S. Grant, Robert E. Lee finally surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant, one of our great leaders in our national history. So,
which one?
Grant.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
I think you missed a comma there, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I started to flip them in my head, and I'm like, nope. I considered Lee an overrated hack. Grant, actually, a pretty good general and a pretty good president.
Who cares about the Oxford comma? We do.
Yeah.
That's a good song, though.
I don't know it.
It's Vampire Weekend.
Ah. I only listen to music in mirrors, so that I've never heard them. Anyway, yeah.
This is Civil Politics, right?
It is, indeed.
I'm not in the wrong studio tonight, am I?
That was terrible.
I probably should have made it about garlic speakers instead. yeah, I've recently started going back to my trainer after not for like 3 years. And, oh my God, I'm my arms feel like jello right now. So, yeah. Anyway,
they're going to pump you up. Yeah.
Hopefully they're going to deflate me a bit. I'd like to get back down to a respectable 270 pounds.
Yes, we're going to pump you up.
Clap. Okay.
This show is going to be off the rails, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Wait, well, it's an eclipse week. There were rails? Where are the rails? Where?
I put them there. You can't see them. That's why they work.
Ah, that makes
but
sense.
But I'm not even paying attention, so. Anyway, what are we talking about
when
this
even
week?
John Radamus has lost the plot, we're in trouble.
Yep.
What are we talking about this week? Let's get back on track.
Horrible things. Horrible things.
Well, let's talk about a some mostly...
terrible no good day.
Yeah, some bad news on the American legal front. So three states have got judicial proceedings going on. Actually, if you include the court in Kansas that's considering whether or not they should ban gender-affirming care for transgender minors, there's four things, but that case hasn't proceeded to a conclusion yet. So we can talk about how upsetting that is later.
The Kansas governor, Laura Kelly,
mm-hmm.
has vetoed the ban on gender affirming care for minors.
Did she?
Like an hour ago. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So actually, breaking news.
Is she a Democrat? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yep. Yes, she is.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
So it's not what's the matter with Kansas anymore.
Well, I mean, it still kind of is, but, you know, apparently it turns out you take away people's fundamental rights and they get pissed and vote for the other side, which is mostly what we're going to be talking about for a bit here. So in Florida and Arizona and actually in Indiana, there have been three interesting rulings about abortion rights in those states. And I believe these cases are focusing on state law and the constitutions of those states. So obviously every state has to be, you know, is subservient to the federal constitution because of the supremacy clause. So the states can't do anything that is against the U.S. constitution. But if the U.S. Constitution doesn't cover it, the states have a lot of leeway, a lot of sway. So in Florida and Arizona, the state Supreme Courts in those two states basically issued rulings saying measures to expand or protect the people's rights to reproductive justice. In Arizona, I think it was in 2022, the state assembly.
After Dobbs fell. I mean, after Dobbs.
No, before, I think.
Just before.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they were getting Dobbs. Ready. Yeah. But they passed a law saying that abortion was legal up to 15 weeks. Which is, I think, still a bit shy of the mark, but, you know, we're at least in the right ballpark. And in Florida, back in 1980, the state had passed a number of constitutional amendments guaranteeing various basic rights to Floridians, and one of those was a right to privacy. And as Florida jurisprudence had established in cases going back to, say, 1989, the right to privacy was very much understood, both within Florida case law and also hearkening back to the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision to mean like, yeah, that includes a right to an abortion. So there's this longstanding jurisprudence and, popular votes in favor of a right to privacy, a right to be let alone. And the Florida State Supreme Court basically said, well, you know, that's ambiguous. What does it really mean that you want the government to leave you alone as much as possible? Who can say?
Tallulah Bankhead.
Yeah. That is a deep cut.
I nice. Want to be alone, I think, is what she said.
I thought that was Greta Garbo.
Wasn't it Tallulah Bankhead?
Maybe it was.
Maybe she said even a king would know who Tallulah is. I forget. Sorry, I'm mixing up my icons of the 40s, 30s.
Yes, you were closer to being around then than I. So, anyway, and I could be, I may not be 100% right on the specifics of these two matters. So I apologize if I'm making any factual misstatements, you know, like add some salt to my, you know, authority here. You know, assuming Sue, you aren't ready to correct me or.
I haven't heard anything I thought was incorrect yet.
Okay, great. Yeah. You know. Stand ready with your.
Doesn't Rachel do that? Rachel Maddow does that with her guests. She'll explain it very clearly, and then she says, "Have I gotten anything wrong?"
It's a
nice touch, actually.
I completely agree.
Yeah,
and I think that's an excellent way to do things. It's almost like she's a professional or something. Anyway, the point is that the Supreme Court in Florida basically said, you know what, all of those cases. The constitutional amendment to our state constitution giving a right to privacy that includes abortion, that's all wrongly understood. All of the cases that basically established that and worked under that understanding going back to the 80s, well, they're all wrong. They're just wrong. So all of that's out. So Governor DeSantis actually can sign a ban on abortion, and that's totally fine. Though
we're gonna have a lot of wrongly decided stuff.
What
a mess that makes.
Well, it's
was it stare decisis to
yes, stare decisis, the idea of like standing on precedent or whatever. And we can, if you want to, we can certainly talk in a sec about the idea about the importance of like how important is it to like have to have that principle. But the interesting thing in Florida is that the state Supreme Court also ruled that a ballot measure to amend the Constitution and explicitly allow a right to an abortion up to the age of viability, I think, is okay and can proceed. So that puts that on the ballot in Florida. It's something I think we mentioned last week. Yeah. And
it was big news.
Yeah, it was big news. And in terms of the, the down and dirty, electoral brawling of, what's going to be happening in November, that is not good news for the Republican Party. So,
another ballot measure is going to be about recreational marijuana.
And that also
in
is
Florida?
Something
in Florida.
Oh, wow. And I think that's also going to sort of favor Democrats, because the Republican Party, like there's lots of people in the Republican Party for some reason really don't like people smoking grass. I don't get it. You know, it's like, who cares? But
yeah. Or eating it or applying it topically.
Yeah.
Or putting it in a diffuser.
Or for that matter, putting it in their tea or something. You know,
yep.
Whatever. Yeah. So, and Arizona, Arizona has a law which, ever since became a state in 1913, I think the law dates from 1913. I think Arizona became
1908, and it was a territory.
It was a territory before that, but
you're not talking about the 1840.
The 1864 law was sort of re-upped. They said, yep, this is still our law, when they became a state and started, you know, passing, you know, a state legal code. So, I mean, it's not the same. It's not that they've just kept the law on the books unchanged. They've actually, according to opening arguments, which I was listening to earlier today, they've actually restated and refined the law like several times over the years since, I think, 1913.
But didn't they just
including in 1973 after the Roe v. Wade decision came down. But anyway, so they had that law from, you know, the antecedents of which go back to 1864, saying you can't do an abortion unless the mother's life is in grave danger. And that did not sync up with the recent law they passed saying you can have abortion, we're banning it at 15 weeks. And I think a federal court ordered the state to sort of figure out, like settle this difference you have between your two laws. And so
that was 2022, right?
They passed that law. I think so, if I'm remembering correctly. And the blah, 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 blah. So the state Supreme Court basically just said, yes, well, the way we're going to resolve it is we're tossing out the recent law and we're going with the total ban except in the case of, you know, saving a life.
How convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet you don't know this fact. Maybe you do
There's
know.
An excellent chance I don't.
So you remember Barry Goldwater? We don't remember
this former senator from Arizona who was LBJ's opponent in the 1964 yeah. election, who railed about communists and people, you know, living on welfare.
Extremism in the pursuit of moderation or something
that. extremism in the pursuit of liberty or virtue is no vice.
Yeah.
I do know that he was the first Republican to have presidential candidate to have the KKK out and supporting him. So that was
you also this one. You're going to love this fact. His family was yes. instrumental in launching the first Planned Parenthood in Arizona.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was pro-choice.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
back then, pro-choice meant a very different thing.
Not at Planned Parenthood, it didn't.
Well, but it also...
Did it, though?
Yeah, well...
Well, back then, being a Republican meant you wanted the government to have less involvement in people's lives.
Yeah.
And it was much clearer about that.
But anyway, they were talking about that on one of the stories about him this week, because they were talking about abortion and stuff in Arizona.
If we can switch back to Florida for
please
a hot
go
sec.
Ahead. Yeah.
I was looking.
It's always a hot second. Obviously, Florida.
Yeah. So there. I was looking up more information about the Florida thing and about the ballot measure.
Sure.
Which is going to be there. There is already some Republicans that are gearing up for a court fight to prevent that ballot measure from going to. From becoming a ballot measure.
Like, of course.
They're as soon as that initiative is approved, like they get enough signatures and everything, they're going to take it to the state Supreme Court because,
didn't
you know.
Didn't they already get it approved? Wasn't that what just happened?
No, they are allowing it to be approved.
They approved the language then, the AG?
No, I'm saying, like, they're saying if you want to put something about that on the ballot this November, then you can try. They opened the door for it to happen.
Oh, right. So the court said, look, the way that we're interpreting the laws as they currently exist, the Constitution doesn't permit a right to an abortion, so the governor can ban it. And any laws, any judicial ruling saying that it was okay, we're all wrong, so this ban is fine. But hey, you know, you can amend the Constitution and, you know, that's a thing.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. But there was a step that happened.
Thank you.
Wasn't because they always have to approve the language before they even say it's okay.
I mean, I don't know if the state Supreme Court does in Florida, but
I don't think
does
the state Supreme Court approves the language. The Secretary
AG.
Of State does.
Almost certainly somebody does, yeah.
Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is they are currently trying to get the amount of signatures that they need to get it on the ballot.
I anticipate they'll succeed at that.
Yeah, I think they've passed the mark already, or they're very close to it. The thing is that when they get approval, then at that point, then there is an anti-abortion group that's going to fight them because, you know, the states should be able to choose what they want to do as according to their party leader.
Yeah.
Trump just came out and said it's a state's issue, like every state should decide like what to do, and all the Republicans are freaking out about that because it has nothing to do with a national ban. But if it's gonna go to the voters, but of course they don't want it to go to the voters, even though they want it to go to the voters if they will win. My head hurts. Does anybody else taste copper?
No. No. Someone making toast, yes.
Man, my nose. there's going to be a court case before the ballot reaches the... They're probably going to try to keep it from happening either way. So
that'll just raise its... raise it in the media so that people be
be a Streisand
well
effect.
Well, and this is all once again This has got to be really just so frustrating for you, Sue, because it's like, it's like, hey, so we got this abortion ban through. Hooray. Yes, that's what we wanted. Oh, God, people don't like it. So we could change our minds or otherwise try and accommodate and sort of meet people where they are. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to try really hard to pretend this isn't what we're doing. And we're going to not talk about it, or we're going to deny it, or we're going to issue some kind of weaselly, waffly denial.
That's what Trump just did.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're not actually going to like change or respect our the logical principles that our party is supposedly based on, you know.
Do you remember when Trump was first elected?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we were like, we had dead air for a hot second.
Yeah, all of us were silenced.
Yeah.
But just before that, you probably remember all the news broadcasts of him being pro-choice. I mean, in New York, he was pro-choice.
And he was supporting the LGBTQ
community. I cannot believe that he hasn't paid for an abortion in his lifetime. I would put money on that bet.
See,
if anybody wants to take it.
I would bet you a nickel that he hasn't, for the very simple reason.
Oh, he hasn't paid for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he would have encouraged it, but not paid for it.
Yeah. He would have had someone paid, like, probably the person having the abortion, probably. He probably would say, like, hey, you need to do this.
Yeah.
He would sue them or something.
Who was the politician who just ran and they had a card with a note on it and a check with his signature for the abortion? The guy down, he's the crazy guy.
It's a politician.
He's a football
Tommy
hero.
Tuberville?
No, he himself was a football player, and he lost against
Herschel Walker?
Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
And he had actually had a check with his name on it and a card.
Yeah, yeah, like, I remember. Yeah, that was all really bad. You guys have found more impressive Senate candidates for this cycle.
But he felt he had to say was anti-choice. I mean, that was part of how he was running. There's something about my party that's requiring this crazy litmus test right now.
Anyway. I could make any number of snide comments, but instead I think I'm going to stick on topic here. And there's a third case that I don't think it's proceeded to the state Supreme Court, but I believe there's been a ruling in Indiana by a lower court, an actual trial court, that Indiana's state Religious Freedom Restoration Act, like, which is pretty much a cut and paste of the federal one, a suit was brought by, among other things, some Orthodox Jews living in Indiana. And in Orthodox Jewish tradition, basically, the life of the mother is paramount. And so it doesn't matter. You can get an abortion pretty much any time.
You can always get another child, but you can't get another wife.
Right. Okay. Exactly. So there's that's apparently a long-standing principle that particular aspect of Jewish tradition. I mean, I am super goyim, so I don't want to be like, you know, sounding too confident about Jewish thought and doctrine and culture. I do know that it is certainly a widely understood perspective, and one that is has long been practiced by many Jewish communities. So, going back into history. So, therefore, a state ban on that is a infringement upon their right to the free exercise of their religion. And, and I think the court there was like, well, you know, and you can't say like, well, but are you really serious? Like, how important is this to you? I mean, you know, because other Jews don't necessarily see it this way. And so are you guys really, I mean, do you really count, you know? And the court was like, no, they do.
Yep.
So we'll see how this goes. But
it passed muster through the appeals court. So now I can go to trial.
Ah, okay. Yes. So thank you.
The appeals court wrote a pretty interesting response to it, I think, if I remember correctly.
You probably do.
Yeah. Well, and it was just that they're actually supportive of the argument that it had some legal basis. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you guys remember?
I mean, arguably the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is bad law, and it's basically an excuse to allow for prejudice and bigotry and oppression using the cloak of, oh, that's our religious belief. Like, I don't think black people are fully human, so of course it's okay for me to be mean to them.
No, we're superhuman.
Right.
This time I'm going to...
Well, you blotted out the sun on Monday, so I'm not gonna doubt you.
That was you?
Me, literally, yes. Literally.
Yes.
I know how you feel about it, so I can believe it.
Hey, listen, we try not to let you guys know, but, you know, sometimes the stuff's got to happen. So, and I hate the sun. Yeah. So,
there you go. Can we go back to the 70s for 2 seconds?
Indeed. Since the dawn of time, Smithers, man has dreamed of destroying the sun.
Why do you want to go back to the 70s?
Buffo Americanus.
Buffo Americanus, the American toad?
Yeah, only it's a certain one that the Indians use in their religious ceremonies.
Oh, is this the one that, like, it's got hallucinogenic?
Yep.
Oils on its skin or something. Yeah,
and the courts decided that the Indians did not have a right.
Right. Also, they couldn't use peyote.
Yep.
Which I think is from a plant.
Well, yep. They're, you know, not white.
Those are mushrooms.
Yeah. So
yeah. and they're not Christian either.
That so, makes I mean, so yeah. Why would we need to protect those?
Or
religions?
Rust, because that's ergot, which is LSD.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, our ancestors have been working hard on a genocide of the Native American people for decades, generations now. So, I mean, you know.
Our?
Actually, I don't know much about your ancestry, so are you sure you're not included?
Shut up. As a black person, it's very hard to know about my ancestry.
Very fair point. I, on the other hand, know a lot about my ancestry because, you know, the records are there.
You wrote the history.
No, my father did, actually. But actually, there was a guy who did a genealogical study. It's this book that's like literally 6 inches thick called The Book of Tao. And somewhere in there, it traces back like all these ancestors or whatever.
Okay, we need to talk about that now. There's something called The Book of Tao.
And it's just genealogical listings.
And it's D-O-W, not T-A-O.
Yes, indeed.
It's The Book of Tao.
D-O-W. Yes, the Tao family. And actually, there's two original Tao ancestors who arrived in this continent in the 17th century, before 1650. And I'm descended from the B line, which I think arrived before the A line, but the guy who wrote the book was in the A line. So he called it the A line, you know, because it was his.
Because this is Earth 1 and the other one is Earth 2. Because we...
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though they would call theirs Earth 1.
Yeah, but they're wrong.
True. My God, there's a book called The Book of Tao.
It's
I'm gonna have to
very much
that.
A weird specialty item. Maybe it's only 4 inches thick. But anyway, it came out in 1928, and my grandparents are in there, but not my father, because it was published a few months before he was born. So there we go. Wasn't that fascinating political analysis? I don't know.
Well, and that whole
You can get it on Amazon.
Oh my God, can you?
Yes, it's $76.
I'm amazed it's that much.
It's probably got leather binding.
No, it's paperback.
Really?
There's a new edition? Because the one I have is like my dad's copy. Which
this is insane.
All right. Well, that's something for us to goggle at during the break. We're going to play some PSAs, promos, and station IDs. Jarma's going to scramble.
Jandra, I am very disappointed in you that you are not prepared to carry on with this show.
Okay.
So. We will play now the PSAs, promos, and station IDs in compliance with our glorious Federal Communications Commission's regulations.
Now look for a cookie.
We will be back with more of the civil politics here on Valley Free Radio just soon. So please do not go away. Stay by your radios and listen attentively. We'll be back soon.
Want to make a difference in a big way? Nearly 200 children in Hampshire County are on a waiting list to be matched with adult mentors called BIGs. Children who are matched with mentors through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Hampshire County do better in school, report higher self-confidence, and have better relationships with peers. Start something. Call 413-259-3000. 3345 and volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters of Hampshire County.
Have you always loved to read but find it hard to do these days? Forbes Library offers a variety of alternatives to keep you reading long into the night. A large selection of large print books, audiobooks, and easy-to-use ebooks and e-audiobooks are available to borrow. You will find bestsellers, classics, and nonfiction offerings. Forbes Library is now affiliated with the National Library Service to provide audiobooks, magazines, and even the daily news for people with vision loss, difficulty holding traditional book or newspaper formats, and for people with certain learning disabilities. Our staff is happy to help you find just the book in just the right format. Call 413-587-1013 to find out more.
Massachusetts now requires you to recycle fluorescent and other mercury-containing bulbs. A tiny amount of mercury is an essential element in energy-efficient lighting. But when you throw these bulbs in the trash, they can break and release mercury into the environment. Do your part. Keep mercury out of the environment. Recycle used fluorescent bulbs. For convenient recycling solutions, visit lamprecycle.org or almr.org. Homeowners, visit earth911.org for a drop-off center near you. Brought to you by the National Electrical Manufacturers Association.
Valley Free Radio is a proud member of Pioneer Valley Local First. Pioneer Valley Local First, encouraging people to think local so they buy and bank local first. Pioneer Valley Local First also works to encourage companies in a friendly way to be socially, locally, and environmentally responsible. Thank you, Pioneer Valley Local First, for your support.
Did you know that veterans make up about one-third of America's adult homeless population? Only 3.9 cents of each income tax dollar last year went to veterans' benefits. Ever wonder about where your tax money goes? More information on how your tax money is being spent can be found at nationalpriorities.org.
Forbes Library offers free access to computers, and now they are equipped with tools to make them easier to use if you are blind or have low vision. When you come into Forbes Library, you will find computers with JAWS screen reading and magnification software installed. Trained library staff are available to get you started. These services were brought to you with federal funds provided by the Institute of Museum and Library Services and administered by the Massachusetts Board of Library Commissioners. Call 413-587-1012 to find out more.
Using WIC is easier than ever. Now you can use the WIC card instead of checks for your food purchases. WIC is a free nutrition program that helps working families stretch their food budget and make healthy choices. WIC helps families learn to shop for nutritious foods and offers resources like online nutrition education and an app to make shopping easier. Visit us online at mass.gov/WIC to find out if you qualify. This message is brought to you by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health's WIC Nutrition Program.
This is Ruthie from Pedal People with a public service announcement. If you frequent downtown Northampton or Florence and you pass by the recycling and trash bins on the street, the public ones, I'm here to let you know that cups are not recyclable. No plastic cups, no paper cups, no styrofoam cups, no clear cups, red cups, blue cups, yellow cups, no insulated cups. Because if you put cups in the recycling bin, it means either I pick them out or someone at the sorting facility picks them out in Springfield, or it contaminates the whole load too much that the whole load is considered trash. Or if you can just bring your own cup all together and not have disposable cups, that'd be even better. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your cooperation.
Forbes Library Outreach Delivery Service caters to residents of any age who are homebound due to short or long-term disability in Northampton, Florence, and Leeds. A volunteer will deliver your specific requests or select materials for you based on your interests. We offer books, magazines, CDs, DVDs, and puzzles. Call 413-587-1019 or sign up at forbeslibrary.org/outreach.
This is Ruthie from Pedal People with a public service announcement. If you frequent downtown Northampton or Florence and you pass by the recycling and trash bins on the street, the public ones, I'm here to let you know that cups are not recyclable. No plastic cups, no paper cups, no styrofoam cups, no clear cups, red cups, blue cups, yellow cups, no insulated cups. Because if you put cups in the recycling bin, it means either I pick them out or someone at the sorting facility picks them out in Springfield, or it contaminates the whole load too much that the whole load is considered trash. Or if you can just bring your own cup altogether and not have disposable cups, that'd be even better. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your cooperation.
Turn your hump day into bump day with Planetary Hi-Fi. Funky, soulful sounds from around the globe. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on WXOJ-FM Northampton.
A Baha'i Perspective, hosted by Warren Odess Gillette, is a weekly radio broadcast of biographical interviews of people who have either chosen the Baha'i faith as a way of life or who have a relationship with the Baha'i faith. You can listen to the broadcast on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WXOJLP 103.3 FM. That's Valley Free Radio.
Would you like...
And we're back with Civil Politics here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Massachusetts. I'm Michael Dow. I apologize that the delay was a bit longer. I kind of broke our producer's brain.
I found the book. There's a PDF.
Yeah.
Of the Book of Dow.
Yeah. Which is really even less interesting than it sounds, because it's basically just full of genealogical tables, like this person and then their descendants and married and so forth.
I'm posting a link.
Yeah, go ahead. It's basically trying to do the kind of stuff that works reasonably well on a website like genealogy.com or whatever, but doing it in the fine medium of print. Yes, apparently somebody updated it too, continued on after the 1929 book that my dad had. So yeah, anyway, we sort of went off on a whole thing about how I have this unusual accent and, you know, or a waspy accent and say things like tomato. And
people say that there is no white culture. There isn't, but there are subsets of white culture, like WASP culture, Italian culture, Bostonian culture. It's really interesting.
Well, and because whiteness sort of often functions as kind of like it's presumed to be a sort of a default setting in our society.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the Europeanness, the sort of the general sort of mass of European cultures like Germany and France and England and so forth, and all the subcategories within those. But like, you know, Mozart and Beethoven and, you know, Elgar and whatever, they're classical musicians, and it's just classical. And that's a fine term, but really properly, it should be European classical, because there are other traditions of music that are
classical,
as ancient or more so. And I think, you know, fully merit the term classical, coming out of, I don't know, China and Japan and probably Africa. I'm woefully ignorant, but I certainly, you know, where's Stefan? He used to do this show with us, and now he's still doing Warm Heart of Africa. He could tell us about that. Anyway,
I just like learning about cultures, especially accents and idioms. That's just something
we have a really good ear, so you can hear it.
I just love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially like weird dialects, like the one in like this one town in California that some kids made up, and then it just spread through the town, and now everybody uses like these really interesting words, like word switches and stuff.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, New England, you want to know an example of weird New England, you know, waspy, you know, intellectual in-jokes?
Yes.
That has pervaded into our language and persists today, using the expression okay. It was basically 19th century, sort of the equivalent of like internet slang, you know, lol and, you know, BRB or whatever.
Was it somebody's initials?
No, I thought it was actually at one point. I think I said that on the show and I was wrong. No, there's actually like a research that's dug this out. Basically there was this thing about like, let's spell things incorrectly. Like, you know, we're illiterate buffoons. And this is all like, you know, people writing for newspapers in Boston in like the 1820s. And so
became sort of cool.
Right. And so there were a number of them. The only one that sort of persisted is OK, which stood for all correct. So, you know, it's OK. It's good. It's, you know, and it's like, yeah,
that's kind of funny.
It is. But it's OK is like a early 19th century version of if someone just said lol or whatever, you know. Rather than actually laughing at something, they just said lol, which God knows I think there are people doing.
Yes.
So
the yes. Shorthand.
Yep.
We were going to talk about Arizona again.
Arizona has become certainly going to be a battleground state with this ruling. So yeah. But yeah. Was there more to say?
Well, I think that was it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I think these sort of things, I mentioned it during the break because I think these sort of things are important to actually say, like, because we have right now, if these rulings didn't happen, there were maybe five states that were important to get the presidency. And we would all be focusing on like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and like a couple others. Like,
yeah, Nevada's playing with their electoral college this week.
Yeah.
And they're not a swing state, but he needs that one electoral college vote.
Yeah.
Is it Nevada? I thought it was Nebraska.
Was it Nebraska?
Oh, it was one with like four.
Nebraska, I think.
Yeah, it was Nebraska.
The congressional district around Omaha, which I think is the Nebraska third, because of the way they assign things, the two represented by their senators the two electors that come from having their senators cover the whole state. And so just the whole statewide.
Everybody,
but then the others are assigned based on the majority within each congressional district.
Doesn't Maine do that too? I think it's Maine. There's another state.
Maine does that as well. Yeah. Yes. So,
it's possible, depending on what, like, polling will bear this out in, like, maybe, like, by August or something like that, but it's possible that if not turning blue, then we might get more Democratic representatives.
And
from Florida, and we might get some in Arizona as well.
Yeah, well, and
especially
also
since Carrie Lake is running still.
Carrie Lake is running for Kyrsten Sinema's open seat.
And yeah, she's so, running away from that 1860 law, although she endorsed it. Like,
yeah,
yeah,
like
she
2 months
it.
Ago.
I don't think there's any way she's going to not have that be just.
That's going to be an albatross.
Hung around her.
Yeah. But yeah, because of her, because nobody likes her. Because she's running for Senate because of this abortion thing, and it's the state
and the presidential election. You
well,
know,
the
people,
state
people
is
do
in
care
play.
About that.
Well,
because Biden won that in 2020 in Arizona, anyways.
Right.
So just
it being the presidential election, like the factors of bringing more people to the ballot box. Is very
important. Definitely motivate anybody who's a member of the Uterati. I think we use that term before.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Or the Alphabet Mafia.
Well, and I honestly,
what's the Alphabet Mafia?
LGBTQIA+.
Oh
yeah.
I did not know that one.
But
yeah, it's new.
Yes. So I think that we're going to see, because control of the Senate is also always at stake, and it's tight right now, but this could help the Democrats hold on to Senate seats that they weren't otherwise going to be able to have. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, yes, Sherrod Brown. Well, Sherrod Brown's pretty popular in Ohio. People like him. So, and he's an incumbent. So, you know, he's got a decent shot anyways, but this is not gonna hurt him having people just
oh,
say like
Joe Manchin, right?
Well, Joe Manchin is leaving, and I don't think there's, I don't even know who's running in West Virginia. But anyway.
And a million things can happen between now and November 5th, you said?
November 5th, Guy Fawkes Day, yeah. And another thing that I'm certainly worried about is, I mean, we mentioned it last week, but the full extent of it, you know, Israel blew up a consular building of Iran in Syria. They attacked an embassy, basically, or a consular building.
Killed a couple of senior commanders.
And, well, killed a number of people there. Even if they were all just the janitors, they killed a number of Iranian citizens in one of their diplomatic buildings, one of their sacrosanct diplomatic buildings in another country. They didn't even do this in Israel. And so this is, you know, blowing up a target in Syria is an act of war. Blowing up a nation's embassy is an act of war. So people,
really wants to stay in.
Well, yes. And I've heard a number of people saying, like, boy, I'm worried, you know, that things might escalate in the Middle East. And it's like, they already have. Israel has done this. This is, you know, the old phrase, you know, don't shoot the messenger, you know, and one part it's like, look, just because I'm telling you something you don't like, you know, it's not my fault. I'm just telling you something you otherwise didn't know. But it's also going back to tradition, I think, going back to ancient Greece, just like messengers, envoys. It's sort of connected to the whole idea of diplomacy today. Like, they're sacred. They're under the protection of the gods. Like, if an envoy comes from a foreign nation and they say, you know, and they treat with you, you have to let them go. Their person is inviolate because they extend the same courtesy to you. That's the idea anyways. So that even, you know, polises that are at war with one another, like Athens and Sparta were in the Peloponnesian War, for example, could still actually send a messenger to talk to each other. And, you know, Israel has just...
You could expel them, right? That's one of the steps you usually take, but just blowing them up is
right.
A little provocative.
Well, they can't... Well, Israel can't expel the Iranian diplomats from another country.
True, but I'm saying that there are all these other things
right.
that...
Right,
yeah, a little...
But this is, you know, this is very much crossing...
It's an act of war?
It's an act of war, and it's crossing a big line. This is unambiguously unacceptable behavior in the international community. It's not something I don't think that they could go directly to the International Court of Justice about, but it's, you know, I was reminded of this because there was a little thing, I don't know if you heard about this, but there's a politician in Ecuador who has been charged with corruption and is in prison now awaiting trial. But he'd fled to the Mexican embassy to seek asylum.
Oh, yeah.
And the Ecuadorian police just went in and hauled him out.
Yep.
And now Mexico has broken relations with Ecuador. Like, that is a big deal, you know?
Mexico has called for Ecuador to be expelled from the UN.
Yeah,
it's asking the International Court of Justice to expel them.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, so that's and nobody got killed. So, you know, it would be completely reasonable for Iran to say, "Look, the Israelis blew up one of our diplomatic, I don't think it was the actual embassy, but a consulate is, you know, sort of like a substation. And so it's covered in the same way. And it's like, they blew up one of our consulates and, you know, and killed people. And this is, you know, absolutely just a shocking, you know, it's as over the top and unacceptable as, say,
Benghazi?
Storming the Capitol. Yes, Benghazi. Yeah. But that was not actually, I mean, I don't know what, if you want to say about like
who
you know, Libyan
officials. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you want to say like Libyan officials liked it or whatever, or okay with it. Maybe they were, I don't know, but it was absolutely, it was a mob. it was not agents of the state. These were, you know, the thing in Ecuador and the thing that happened in Syria are you know,
clearly agents of the
Israel's
state.
Army, Israel's military absolutely did that. There's no ambiguity about that.
So, go ahead. Can I take Sue's job and pull a pin on a grenade here?
Yeah, we got a few minutes. Go for it.
Do you think Israel's wagging the dog?
Could be. Yeah.
That's why I said Netanyahu really wants to stay in office.
Like, because they attacked Iran, and now I heard the White House releasing a statement saying, like, basically, we don't, why, but still, if you need to defend it,
we will back Iran to the hilt, Israel to the hilt. Yeah. Whoops.
Whoops.
Hey, they both start with the letter I.
That would be amazing.
That would be.
That would be like that'd be Washington's being like, News. Look, look, you screwed up too much. We're going to go with the wrong now. We're switching teams.
Well, I mean, they're awful, but.
Yeah, but I like, do you think that Israel like attacked Iran's station
to
and now Washington's like, now we gotta, you know, because it's Iran.
That's what Roosevelt did with the oil in Japan. He cut them off.
Oh ho.
And he provoked them.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yes, but I this works, I think, as different, this
well,
plays
did
out
did you
differently,
hear but. That the F, is it F-15 or F-16s are getting delivered to the Ukraine today or tomorrow?
They I finally think it released was them. F-16s, but
they finally delivered them.
So the thing that I think is like the thing.
Did
that,
you say World War III?
Well, here's the thing that worries me a little bit. Well, it actually could worry me a lot, but, you know.
They're from Norway, the F-16s.
Yeah.
By the way. Not U.S.
Iran, you know, is definitely going to tread carefully in this, in part because, you know, nobody on Earth wants to be on the receiving end of the U.S. military. Because we're terrifying. But also, Israel is a nuclear power. They have dozens, if not hundreds, of nuclear weapons.
Although they never admit it. But yes.
They never admit it, but we know they do. Mm-hmm. So, on some level, you know, I have no idea. It seems it would be unconscionable and it should be unthinkable. But, I mean, you know what else is unthinkable? Just blowing up hospitals and stopping food deliveries to
and trying to overturn your own justice system.
Right.
And that's why there's people in the street in Israel.
One reason why.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. And have been for some time. So,
and,
you know,
taking away the journalists' rights.
Right. So
and they killed 120 journalists at this
point. And a couple hundred aid workers. Yeah. So
208.
What Israel is doing in Gaza right now is just unthinkably awful. So I don't want to be like, oh, of course they'll use nukes or anything like that, but is it really off the table right now?
Well, I mean,
here's the thing. Is Netanyahu sort of playing a bit of the Nixon thing, the mad bomber approach? He might actually do it. Tell him you're just holding me back, Henry. You know, there's any moment I might just pop off and launch a nuke.
He's going to be the midnight bomber. What bombs at midnight?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And if he doesn't do it, checkers will. There's a deep cut. Yeah. I don't know.
Wasn't checkers the dog?
Checkers was the dog.
That poor little beagle.
Yeah.
Or Basset. I guess it was a Basset.
Huh? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about that beyond
Do you think Packy was right? When she was on our show and talked about just don't give anybody arms.
Because are we going to pick stuff up?
Yeah. Right. What are we, T-Rexes? I think that is a...
Are we inflaming it?
Yeah. I mean, that is... Yeah. Well, in Israel's case, absolutely. And I mean, arguably, we're inflaming the situation in Ukraine because we're allowing them to continue, you know, we're helping them to continue fighting back. But I do think that, you know, the situation in Ukraine, again, is an interesting parallel to what's happening in Gaza and, you know, or our invasion of Iraq 20 years ago, for example, you know, but whatever. Yeah, that was not perhaps the most profound insight of mine, but there we are. But anyway, I think it's terrible that we're
given
saying
that book. We expect so much more of you, Mike.
Right, you should.
The Book of Tao.
The Book of Tao.
Yes. Well, hopefully it won't be the only remnant of our civilization following some out-of-control escalation, because we're backing Israel, even though what they did was just wrong. You know? Anyway.
Fun thing to end on.
Yeah.
There was an interview with former Speaker McCarthy where he just...
Kevin, right?
Yeah. Where he just said... Yeah, I could have done stuff, but there was one House member that wanted me to kill an ethics an investigation about him with a 17-year-old, okay, but I wouldn't. So then he called for my ouster. That's what happened. He just said it. He just said it. Yep. It was amazing. I'll try to find a video and post it on the. Yeah.
You know,
the
he should be worried about some new laws they're passing in Florida.
Oh ho!
But anyway, I hear the music. We really should wrap it up here. So thank you for listening to Civil Politics tonight here on Valley Free Radio. Coming up next is the first hour of Kicking It for Peace and Love, followed by Subculture at 8, Table of Content at 10, OK Asia at midnight. It's part of a whole long block of music that'll take you through the night and well into tomorrow morning. So listen to every bit of it. Don't sleep. Or if you're listening on Monday, coming up next is after us is Democracy Now. So woohoo! Anyway, that'll do it for now for Civil Politics. Thank you for listening. Good night. Civil Politics is a member of the Planetside Podcast Network. To learn more, go to planetsidepodcasts.com.